Ready to talk retirement? You're in the right place. Join Veronica Redfield for the Retirement Roundtable, your go-to source for navigating the ups and downs of retirement planning. We'll break down those tricky financial topics, share actionable tips, and explore ways to make your retirement dreams a reality. So grab a seat. It's time for the Retirement Roundtable.
Welcome to the Retirement Roundtable. My name is Grant, and with me is Veronica Redfield with Retirement Resource. And the person to the left of me, Jacqueline, our co-host. How are you today, Jacqueline?
Oh, I'm fantastic. You know, I'm wearing the leopard print today. It's just showing off my personality. And we are in person today. It's so exciting. Yes, we teased this last week, and we said that we have something special. And now we are in person together, just chatting. And how many times have we tried to restart this? And we're just having such a great time.
I mean, we've been here for 45 minutes, I think we said, and been distracted a few times. Only one attempt that we failed.
Yeah, only one attempt. Okay. So yeah, there's not too much weight on my shoulders with the intro. It was more or less people coming by and saying hi because you were kind of popular.
And we're a good time.
Yeah.
We're very good.
You're a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are putting smiles on people's faces.
Exactly. They see us and they're like, they want to be a part of it.
Exactly. Especially with this nice new haircut I have.
Oh, goodness.
Absolutely.
Oh.
And honestly, we typically record on a Monday morning. It's a little bit rough. I mean, not for us necessarily, but I feel like our energy is just not quite there. And now we're recording on a Wednesday, which I don't know. I mean, our energy is at a whole new level.
And we got to have fun last night. Jackie and I got to go to Nickelodeon and ride all the rides. And it was great.
Just so much fun. Our hair was slicked back.
Yes. I mean, slicked back. It was straight up from some of those rides.
Yeah.
Oh, it was.
I wasn't there.
No. Grant did come last night, but he didn't join the party. It was the Women in Business that we went to. And it was a great event to be able to speak with all these female advisors from across the U.S. and collaborate. Like, the event itself is great, but just the learning and the communication and everything from everybody. It was just such a good event. So the rides last night was a great way to break into today.
Yeah.
To cap it off.
And now we're going to do the lead advisor for them.
Yep.
That's what you're here in town for. So
yeah, for part of it. And so I have a wedding this Friday. You probably heard about it in previous podcasts. So I got to drive up north to Cloquet Thursday afternoon and I got to get ready for my speech.
Big speech.
Yeah. I'm excited for it. I got inside jokes. I got PG-13 stories. It's going to be exciting.
And it's one of your best friends.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I wish I had the paper in front of me that I've written down because I do have a couple good one-liners that I'd like to explain on how. Never mind. Because no one else would get on the podcast. Hence, ideal one-liners. So.
No, I'm really happy for you. I'm excited. It sounds like a great opportunity. And honestly, I mean, the timing worked out great. You came down here and you're in Minnesota, and it's just great timing to just drive right there for your wedding.
It works. A little bit of everything.
Yep. Yep. So fun week.
Yes.
Kind of a, you know, take a break from, you know, the office, get out, as we've been the last month, I would say, has been busy.
Well, and yesterday you and Sean handling the office on your own, it seemed like it was just nonstop.
Yeah. It was a busy morning, but that's fun.
Yeah.
Because then you're not looking at the clock. You're not, you know, why is time moving so slow? I mean, it was just a blink of an eye and 8 to 4 happened real quick.
Yeah. Well, and it's the best part of what we do is helping people. They need money and they need to know how and where and how much and what's tax is going to be. And
be available. Listen to those questions.
Yeah.
Have those people call you and your clients.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then, you know, the other case too is that unfortunately, you know, a spouse passed away and mm-hmm. still helping them as soon as possible is beneficial for, you know, their sake. So I was glad that Sean and I were in office, especially yesterday, to get that all cleaned up. And it was fun.
Yeah.
On Tuesday.
So what are we talking about today?
We are going to talk about the retirement planning process.
Ooh.
So what does that mean to you, Veronica?
Well, I mean, a lot of people ask us, where do I start? Like, I mean, it's really a big open territory, like in our education classes, people like they get so overwhelmed, they don't even know where to start. Where, you know what, the easiest thing to do first, you're not sure what it is, but it pertains to retirement, put it in a folder. Like, start collecting documents, whether you understand them or not. If they're a part of your future or your potential plan,
that's the first thing that you can do, even if it doesn't make sense. Cause like, you know, one
makes sense for it. You
exactly.
Make sense of it for it, though.
Right. Right. So, you know, starting the process, you just got to find somewhere to start, because like I said, sometimes people get so overwhelmed, they don't know where to go, but just that's a great start to get organized. And then following that, what else would we do, Grant, when we suggest people to get started?
After they collect their documents, I would tell someone if they have the capabilities to do it themselves, because there's do-it-yourselfers there. But now review those documents, because now we've got them all together, right? But what's the purpose of those documents, right? We might have some investments, social security statements, maybe a pension. Now it's time to put it all together.
Get educated.
Exactly.
Now we need to understand.
Right. You need to understand the purpose of your documents.
Right.
And so, you know, understanding, well, there's a lot of questions. I don't want to go too far in the weeds, but like, okay, I got a social security statement. When I'm, you know, the next question would be, when do I plan to retire?
How does it work?
Exactly. When do I start it?
What do I do?
How would
you even do that? Oh, there we go. Budget. That's another one.
So that I think that would be the next one after, you know, understanding your documents, you know, whether you do it yourself or meet with someone, is a budget. What do you plan to do in retirement is the big question. Because people always say, what's that magic dollar figure that I need to have in my 401k, my IRA, my Roth IRA? Well, you know, if you plan to take naps, like one of our clients, you don't need a lot, right?
No.
You need about, I'm not going to say a dollar figure, but you don't need the amount like someone would want to have if they're going to travel or snowbird, right?
Right. Travel the world is going to be a different price tag.
So starting with your budget is going to be that next step.
And your purpose, though, like you said a second ago, because we just taught an education class and we asked the class, what do you want to do in retirement? And most people are so busy living their lives, whether they still have children or not. You know, they work and then they're exhausted and they go home, or they might not do much extra, that they don't think about it. But if you don't think about it, you don't know what you're going to budget for, you know? So like, we have clients all the time that are, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I don't have time to think about that right now. Well, you need to start thinking about it, because like you said, if you're going to travel or be a snowbird, that needs to be put in your budget so that we can look at your retirement figures and say, yes, you can retire, or no, you cannot, but we can do this, this, and this.
Well, and we've actually talked about it on previous podcasts is, you know, Grant, you said the magic number, right? And we've kind of debunked the $1 million figure, right?
Right.
We talked about that. And then to go on your point, Veronica, about your budget and your purpose, and it's about the goals that, you know, not necessarily you have to come up with a number for the budget, but you need to come up with goals for yourself and what you want to accomplish and when you want to accomplish it.
100%. Do you want to bounce your last check? Do you want to leave a legacy? Do you want to just not run out of money and they get what they get? I mean, having that in your plan so that when people like Grant and I are helping you, we can help obtain your goals, because you need your goals, you need your purpose, you need your dollar figure to know how much you need to live for us to be able to do that.
Right, right. But if you look on the flip side, playing the devil's advocate here, goals might change.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you could see it as, okay, I want to bounce my last check in the first 10 years of retirement. I want to spend as much money, travel, go snowboard, do my thing. But then if, you know, say 10 years later down the road, I want to leave a legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how can that legacy be met as a goal now if your original goal was to, you know, bounce your last check? You know, that's a big switch. But how does that change your retirement outlook, right?
And it happens so often.
Right. So, you know, you could have a goal now, which might be totally different 5 years later down the road. And I think that comes with life transitions too.
Exactly.
You know, what if something happens? And so, you know, trying to, you know, look at a plan itself, that is so flexible on depending on the client,
right,
situation, life.
And once you make that plan, that's why we say you have ongoing meetings. Like, you don't make a plan and then you're done. You make a plan and you adjust as life happens, so that when you transition from that bouncing that last check per se to I want to now leave money behind, usually that's a gradual thing. And it's actually a natural thing that occurs as people get older, because we've had several people come in and say, I don't care, I don't need to leave anything behind, you know, that kind of thing. But it naturally, as you age, it does automatically kind of shift for most people. And that's where we have to be prepared to help navigate as that happens, to see those signs so that we can prepare you and help guide you in the right direction. But that's, again, so part of our process is not only to starting it and collecting, is reviewing it for that reason. That particular reason is a good example.
Exactly.
And then the other thing that we can tell people is, we have a lot of people who say, I don't know when I can retire. I don't know when I want to retire. So we often suggest the earliest possible date that you would consider because it's the best worst case. Best because you're done, worse because the numbers are the least, but also from a planning perspective, if we start with the earliest possible, it's easier for us to go further than it is to go backwards, as well as if some unfortunate event happens health-wise, job-wise, you know, we know when the soonest date even to consider is.
Yes, plan for the worst, hope for the best.
Exactly, right? Exactly. So, I mean, there's a lot of different things to factor, but that's, you know, one of the ways that we usually do it in our office for those life events that can transition you into a different stage.
Exactly. I do like planning for the best worst case scenario, mm-hmm. just because anything above that is going to make the plan better.
Exactly.
And it's tough to tell a person they can't retire even on the best worst case scenario, because you legit can't do anything different. You either continuously work or get that part-time job, and that could help. But, you know, that's, you know, just, it just proves that, you know, meeting with someone and doing that best worst case is going to, you know, give that picture to whoever it is.
And not to toot our own horn, as they say, but we're pretty smart cookies. So if someone comes in and they want to retire, I mean, it's kind of fascinating when you watch Grant and I just problem solve. Like, we are diving into every possible scenario, because that's what we do. Mm-hmm. We work in the financial planning industry. We work with investments. We work with products and solutions for clients, so that by coming into us, we can sometimes actually often think of things that you probably don't think of, because it's what we're in every day. Mm-hmm. You know, like if it's, we need to help you get out of debt, you know, before you retire, what are the solutions there? You know, okay, maybe I can't retire here, but if I do this, this, and this, we can retire at this point and then I'm good. You know, that's where I just love, and that's what Grant and I just enjoy doing so much is, I mean, sometimes we're sitting in a meeting and we both have so much fun, just our brains are working. Like, how can we make this happen? What can we do to put this client in a better place than they are before and make those dreams come true?
Yeah, it was just like yesterday, like 5-minute phone call about a distribution. Mm-hmm. And we were able to discuss it, talk about every different possible way that could be. And we figured out, you know, where we're going to pull these funds from. And where I'm talking about is the tax type.
Right.
Is it Roth? Is it IRA? Or is it individual? So we were able to, you know, select that best choice on where we're going to pull funds yesterday, and we completed it. So it's nice to have two brains rather than one. Mm-hmm. So you can see both sides of the story, just in case if Veronica misses something, I miss something. Typically I don't miss anything.
Oh, come on. I was just going to say this thing.
But no, it's great. So, you know, we're at a point, we collected documents. Mm-hmm. We've got our education, our purpose to our documents. We've got a budget. Mm-hmm. Now we talked a little bit about the purpose of retirement. So what's that next step? I think it's investments.
Okay. I was like, that's a trick. Okay. So where do you want me to go with this?
So depending on, going to rely on our investments for retirement, right? Are we drawing income? Do our investments mm-hmm. match that purpose?
Where are they going to come from? Which one are we going to do?
Exactly.
Right.
So we're kind of going down the list.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the end is really the investments. What's the purpose of our investments? Are we solely looking for growth opportunities, or do we need income? And so proper planning requires you to have, I would say, more conservative investments for the distribution side, because it's not going to be moving like a individual stock or, you know, a mutual fund that's geared towards growth. But it doesn't mean that we're not looking for growth. We have a set aside amount to have that opportunity.
Right. And we like to say planning for retirement is like climbing Mount Everest. I mean, it's a good analogy. So if you picture a mountain, you're climbing up the mountain, that's your accumulation, your mm-hmm. saving phase, right? You hit that peak and man, it feels great. You're there, you've retired, you've done it. But guess what? No more than you hit that, now you got to go down the mountain, and you got to go down the mountain without hurting yourself. You know, it's called the distribution phase, the income phase, however you want to call it. But you're using the same tools to go down the mountain as you're going up the mountain. But I would like to say everyone would agree that to climb a mountain, you're going to do things differently than you're going to descend it.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to make sure you don't hurt yourself, you know, going down the hill, because you need to use these tools much differently. You don't want to run out of money, all that kind of stuff. What are you laughing at?
I'm not. I'm just smiling.
Just laughing at me.
Personally, I mean, if we're talking about hiking here, I mean, going up a mountain is a lot easier than going down, because I end up just falling and slipping on the rocks. So,
and that's exactly the analogy, is it's a lot different.
No, I think both are hard. Both have different aspects that are hard, right? On the accumulation side, it's, you know, you think these contributions that you're doing now in your early stages of your working years, I'm not putting that much away. It doesn't seem like a lot. But as soon, like, my big thing, get to 100,000. Mm-hmm. And I think after 100,000, stuff gets a lot easier.
When you see that compounding.
When the compounding interest happens on that 100,000, it becomes a lot easier. So, you know, that's the struggle going up the hill, but coming down the hill, spending assets too quickly, not having the proper allocation. What if we have a market correction? We pull too much money that year. Do you feel comfortable? So it's essentially two different ball games, right?
Yes, it is.
And so I think, you know, to top that off is downside protection in retirement. And we offer some structured notes that provide that. And that's going to be 100% principal protected right now, which is great for those retirees. And then they have that upside potential capped off at 12.6. But who complains about 12.6%?
Right.
Especially in retirement, not taking the risk associated with 12.6%. It's a good product. So I think there's struggles both going up and down the hill. It's
just
different scenarios.
But I do think climbing down the hill, kind of to Jackie's comment, like you have to be a little more careful because you could slip and fall. You need to save. Averages are averages when you look at accumulation, right? So, but when you go down, that's where you need to be a little more careful for, like we said, how you're spending your money. Because if you have a market correction, you don't have the right income bucket set up, you can end up running out of money significantly faster. What's that face for?
No.
Guys, he's making a face at me.
I was going to follow up with, it'd be like someone climbing, so the accumulation side, where they have their funds overly aggressive and they watch them lose 200,000 and they're going to pull right out of the market and don't allow them. So that's very similar, like spending money, because you just signified that loss.
Right.
And that's just like taking distribution.
So another part to this planning then is they need to manage their risk going both up the hill, planning for retirement, as well as down the hill, decumulation. They don't manage their risk appropriately, that they don't want to pull out of the market. That means they're overly allocated.
I think if you have a good advisor and can explain, like, for example, Jacqueline and I, right? Yeah. I would tell her to be in the most aggressive fund possible.
Are you calling me old again?
Nope, I'm not. And I'm not trying to make it sound like a blanketed, statement, but for us, we should be in the most risk aggressive investment now because we have 30 years.
Called me old.
No, I did not call you old. You're still young. You can't say that.
But why wouldn't I not in there? Why would you not tell me to grow up?
I know who you are because you cannot handle it.
Okay, guys, that's a good advisor. Okay, he knows who I am.
Yeah,
plus, I mean, like for us, like maybe you can handle it, but I'm going to push you to my max limits and explain why we should be in this, you know, growth investment.
But I scored a 65 on my last risk assessment. That's pretty darn good.
It is good. It is good. But I hear you talk in the office all the time. I don't want to lose.
I didn't say that. I don't want to lose my clients' money.
Okay. That's a different story.
Especially when they're in retirement.
Back to what I'm saying, though, is that, Jacqueline, you might lose 30% in a year, but don't look at it. Add to it. And that, like, that's my philosophy. I know
that's your philosophy, but what about Jackie's? We need Jacqueline to do a score so we can know for sure that we don't push her grants way.
But that's going to be in my advice, knowing the financial background, knowing that if it's like in the S&P 500 index all the way, 100%, stay the route.
Yeah.
So I don't want to make that sound like a blanket statement, but that looking for the future 30 plus years, no-brainer option.
And to that point, too, you know your client. And that's what we do, is we know our client. So like I said, when I tried to tell him that why wouldn't I do it, he does know me. He sees me every day, just like we know our clients. And he knows that no matter what a client says, sometimes we know who they are truly so that we can help them not put themselves in a position that they're going to be worried about their investments, that they're going to be watching the market and looking at their statements saying, oh my gosh, I just lost money. Like that is the advantage of not only this planning process, but like you said, the investments. It's how we
and help. Working with a financial advisor like your guys, you know, like you, because they're the ones that are going to make the best decisions for your individual plan.
And logic decisions, not emotional.
Exactly.
Correct.
And I think on the investment side, we've made some pretty good moves of allocating to different portfolios. I was doing some research yesterday, and it's fun to see just a small change at the right time can significantly get you higher returns. Now we're not, you know, our goal is not to get 30-40%, but we still want growth in our investment for retirees. So it's not. I can't say too much here, but it's just been good. Yep. It's that way.
Mm-hmm. And let's just wrap up another topic for the plan. You know, when you create a plan, another question we get a lot of times is how much should we use an assumed rate of return? You know, and we're talking about the logistics of investments and the different buckets. You know, we like to plan conservatively and we see a lot of other advisors use 5, 6, 7%. And our personal opinion is we'd rather your plan come back better than worse. And we have a conservative plan in place because we don't want your plan to fail and fail when it's too late. And guess what? You're going back to work. You know, so that is a huge component. Once you're starting to put all these other pieces together, well, then what do you do? Well, you have to have some sort of assumed rate of return to see, well, I hit my income goal. Well, I run out of money. If my goal is to leave money behind, is there going to be anything to leave behind? You know, looking at your plan from a high level, as well as the individual components of it is, you know, kind of wrapping it all up because you got to start somewhere.
It's just the best worst case scenario. 3% is very small. Typically, you can receive that with a CD, et cetera, with your funds.
Currently, yeah.
Currently, yes, yeah. Exactly. Well, it depends on what the Feds do today. They're cutting at one. Well, supposedly going to cut today at 1 p.m.
Okay.
So that's something else to look out at. I know you probably won't be hearing this till after it, but that is today at 1. So depending on how much they cut and if they cut at all, we could see a good end to the week. But
yep.
Exactly. Best worst case scenario, 3%, at least you're outbeating inflation, but yet it's not the returns that we want to see, but it's the conservative side of planning.
Right. We want a better return than that, but we just illustrate that because if you only need a 3%, do you really need to take all the risk you're taking? Especially when we say in retirement, your risk matter losses hurt a lot more than gains.
Mm-hmm. And it's fun to look at over the if you're looking at, you know, retired at 60, you're looking at 25 years. A 1% interest rate, so to 4%, increases your total portfolio more than you think it does.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of fun to play with the numbers.
Yep. And we show clients that when we show what it could look like. But we, again, plan safely, I would say. I don't know if safely is the right word. Conservatively, we'll keep it that way.
It's just best worst case scenario. And more often than not, we're beating the 3%.
Exactly.
So it's just showing a base level of what retirement can be.
100%.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of that, we have jokes of the day and I will go with my one first, just because we were talking about investments. Okay. So what's the difference between a day trader and a gambler?
Ooh, I'm both of those.
That's exactly why I was like, I have no idea.
A gambler at least gets free drinks while losing money.
That is
true. That's a good one.
Depending on the casino.
True.
Las Vegas, they do.
Do that all over?
Casinos in Minnesota do not. You still have to pay for your drinks.
Oh.
But they're like a discount.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a good one. That is a really good one.
That is a good one.
Sorry? Okay. I still want to be a gambler.
Oh, good.
And then I can
still. Do I get this?
Yep. Yeah.
I would say so.
Yep.
All right, you got.
I don't kind of have like a joke. It's going to be more, I think, of a riddle. Type thing.
Okay.
I finally got a job handling finances for a multi-billion company. So excited for my first day as a McDonald's cashier. Get it? The multi-billion.
That's actually pretty good too. All right. What? I got another one. This is kind of fun. Okay. I was thinking about going into business and opening my own distillery, but my financial advisor thinks that's a whiskey idea.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Those are good ones today. Good job, guys.
Yeah.
Veronica, where's yours?
You guys said I didn't have to. Put me on the spot.
Come on.
No, not happening.
Have I told the pig one yet?
I don't know.
What does the pig say in the desert?
I don't know.
I'm baking out here.
I feel like you have said.
You might have. That sounds like it's going to be a dad joke for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
One day. Let's not rush things.
Okay.
One day.
All right, Grant, how do they get a hold of us?
You can reach us two ways. Go to our website at www.retirementresourcend.com or give us a call at 701-639-7899. And first appointment, no obligation to you.
Woo! Woo! And ND in the website is for North Dakota.
Yes,
for reference there, but... All right, guys. Well, this has been such a blast, and I appreciate having you both here and coming to visit me. And we have to do this again.
Yes, I agree. We'll plan it again for sure. This is fun.
Yeah.
Yes. I like this a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We for sure get our personalities out. That's for sure.
Yes.
All right. Well, listeners, that does it for the Retirement Roundtable with our hosts, Grant Hartman and Veronica Redfield.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jacqueline.
Thanks for tuning in to the Retirement Roundtable. A well-planned retirement goes beyond savings. It's about having a strategy for both income and taxes. To learn more, reach out to Veronica Redfield at the Retirement Resource by calling 701-639-7899 or visiting retirementresourcend.com. Be sure to join us next time for another episode of the Retirement Roundtable.
Advisory services are offered by VC Insurance Sales, Inc., doing business as the Retirement Resource and Investment Advisor in the states of North Dakota and Minnesota. Insurance products and services are offered through Fed Resource ND, an affiliated company.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.